Bless this house, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless these walls so firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimneys tall, let thy peace lie over all. Bless this door that it may prove ever open to joy.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so, so lucky to have on the phone with us today Deacon Rod Walker. He is a deacon within the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, and we are thrilled to get caught up with him. How are you?
Hi, Mo. I'm very good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, you know how much I enjoy your son, Andrew. Who I call Andrew Lloyd Walker. I think he has a different middle name. What is his
name? Yeah. Lawrence, it's close.
I've always called him Andrew Lloyd Walker. Anyway, I have to tell you that he is so gifted. I knew he was a wonderful piano player and organ player. I did not know that he was such a great singer. I haven't heard him sing for years. And I know that he has been ministering virtually at his new parish in Savage. And he's online, so I just wanted to give a shout out. He's doing such a great job, and you can be so proud.
Yeah, thank you. He is called to that ministry, and he really, really enjoys it. So, yeah, he doesn't canter or sing often, but the situation has called for it, and he stepped up to the plate, and he does such a nice job.
Yeah, he does a really, really great job. So that's been fun. So anyway, Deacon Rod, this is a new world that we're living in, and certainly part of being a deacon, I would assume, is to minister to people, and you're having to do it, I would assume, in a very different way.
Yeah, that's correct. I was ordained in December, so really pretty much in by February, just starting to really get in a groove, so to speak, of how things were going to evolve in my ministry work. And then all of a sudden, things changed very drastically, of course, as we all know. And, I was maybe 2 weeks into this, so maybe towards late March. And I was at home and doing my evening prayers, and I have a little spot in the house where I do that. And I was kind of, to be honest, I was just kind of wallowing in some self-pity about, geez, I'm just not able to really do what I think I was ordained to do here. What am I going to do? I felt kind of inadequate and a bunch of other things all wrapped into one. And when I was ordained, the parish at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton gave me an icon of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton as a ordination gift. And, if you think icon, you think kind of the style of Greek Orthodox painting or whatever. And so it's a portrait of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And as I was sitting there praying and just kind of milling through things, I guess the way I would say it is the Holy Spirit just called me to get up out of my chair and look at that icon more closely. And as I looked at that icon more closely, I realized that she's holding a little scroll in her hand, and there's some little font words on the scroll that I had never really read before. And it said that our least action when done for God is precious to him. Mm. And I thought, wow, I don't need to do big things here. So I proceeded the next day to start calling people on the phone and just ask how they were doing. And that really was healing for me. And I know people that I was talking to on the phone. It was just such a joy for them to actually just talk and just see how things are going. So I've been doing that. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was like, the weather's getting pretty nice outside. I wonder if I could do something different. So I just came across some document that I was reading that wasn't even related to doing home blessings, but it mentioned that Catholic tradition is that home blessings typically take place during the Easter season and or during Advent season. And I'm like, well, here we are. We're in Easter season right now, the period between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. And I was like, I wonder if I could do that. So I worked with the communications person at SEAS, and we put the word out, and I've had a pretty decent response. And so I've, in the last 2 weeks, I've been out and blessed about a dozen homes and families, and it has been just a joy to do that. And it's been so nice to actually meet people that maybe I otherwise wouldn't have met and had a conversation with. And, you know, the home blessings, maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and then we chat, you know, and get to know each other a little bit better from a social, you know, a distance. So they're usually on their step, and I'm 6 to 10 feet away, and we have a great conversation, and the weather has been great every time I've done it so far.
You do this outside. You don't come inside. Explain how it works, please.
Sure. Yeah. So basically, they schedule a time. They just send me an email at my C's email address. I have a little schedule set up, so I just plug them in the schedule, and I get back to them and say, you know, how would 4:30 work next Friday? And they're like, yeah, that works fine. And so I arrive, and they come out usually on their front step, or if they have a porch or whatever that might be. And in some cases, they've come into the kind of the entrance of their garage, open up the big door, and they'll stand there as a family, and we'll talk a little bit. And then I begin the actual blessing, which is a formal blessing that's in the Book of Blessings. And it includes just an opening prayers and then gospel reading, some intercessions for the family in their home, and then the sprinkling rite, and then a closing prayer. And that's the extent of the blessing, I guess. And then we chat a little bit more, and I move on to the next residence. And so it's been working very well.
What's the feedback been?
I'll share one particular email. The feedback has been very, very receptive. People are very grateful when I'm getting ready to depart, and they're, you can see it in their face. They just feel a sense of peace, as I do. I really do. Several weeks back, I received an email the next day from a father, the dad, and so it was mom and dad and two daughters. Daughters were sixth grade and third grade. And the dad said in the email that he just wanted to thank me for doing that, coming over and doing the blessing. And he said his third-grade daughter said that evening at dinner that she hadn't felt that good since her last time she was at confession. And he was just very grateful that she said that, and as am I. And, you know, I'm just the tool. The Holy Spirit's doing that work. I'm just the conduit. So just a really good indication that something happened and happens to people kind of deep within their soul when they sense the presence of the Holy Spirit with them.
And it's such a great thing that you're doing, especially during this time period when people can feel very detached from their religion and isolated from formal religion. Do you think that this is something that you will continue?
Well, right now I'll continue it up through Pentecost Saturday. And if there is any time somebody requests it outside of that, that's certainly fine. I guess I won't probably advertise per se in the parish bulletin or anything after that. But then again, when we hit Advent season, you know, in December, if it's not too cold out, and hopefully by that time I could actually enter the doorway of a home. Yeah, I would certainly offer it again during Advent as part of just church tradition of doing it during those two seasons. But certainly, if somebody really wanted a house blessing, a home blessing, and it's outside of those two time frames, I'm absolutely open to that, too.
So this is open to anybody, though, in our listening area?
I would say yes. I'm not limiting myself to any specific group. It's going to be a blessing from the Catholic Book of Blessings. And if people are comfortable with that, I'm more than happy to bless their home and bless their family.
Wow, that is just so nice. So tell us a little bit about some other things that you're doing, please.
Well, so the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish started to live stream masses on Holy Thursday. And so I've been involved with the weekend. So Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the Easter Vigil were all live streamed. So that's Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday evening Mass. And then starting the week after Easter, Sunday Masses are live streamed at 10 a.m. So I've been blessed to be part of that. I've preached at Good Friday Mass and then at the first Mass week two of Easter. Also, Divine Mercy Sunday, I would preach at that Mass also, which I find I really sense the Lord calling me to be preaching. And so I was glad that I was able to preach those two Masses. And, you know, we're just working through the schedule. And, you know, probably the next time I'll be preaching at a Sunday Mass will be mid-May, which is fairly typical for a deacon. Usually would preach weekend Masses once a month. And so Father Dave Hennen said we'll pretty much stick with that schedule and see how things go forward.
Rod, tell us about some of the comments that you had from people when you did see them. Do they talk about the pandemic? Do you feel that people are having angst about it like you did that one day?
You know, I'm not getting any, how do I describe this? When I arrive, I only sense joy and happiness from those that I'm talking to.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's kind of like refreshing to them, you know, just to have that visit. And that's the rewarding part for me, is just to be able to come and visit. And, you know, and I guess I'll say this too, is, you know, certainly social distancing is very, very important, but it doesn't mean social shut off. And, you know, I've found that it's really quite simple to have a conversation with somebody 6 to 8, 10 feet away, you know, and that conversation from that distance is just as rewarding as it is 3 feet away, you know, and if people are longing for that personal, sort of just personal interaction. I know even with me, I work from home. I have been since the social distancing thing began. And people get so focused on working, doing those who can work. Thanks be to God, there are some of us that still can and are. But you get so focused on just doing your job, you almost tend to forget to even take a break and talk with your family. At least I find that to be a challenge some days. But for a lot of people, whatever church they, you know, attended Sunday or, you know, if that was Saturday or whatever, you know, typically there's some chit-chat time with people on the way out and maybe some deeper conversations that just don't happen anymore. And I guess I would say just don't be afraid to call some of those people that you used to chit-chat with and just say, hey, why don't you, I'm going to stop over and let's just have a little chat. I'll get my lawn chair and sit in your driveway and you can sit, you know, 10 feet away as far as you want. Let's just talk a little bit. And I have noticed that over at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and it always seems to be on the west parking lot, there'll be occasionally a cluster of two or three cars there or, you know, vehicles, and there'll be a pretty big circle, like a 20-foot circle, and there'll be four or five people. Typically, they've been more seniors, you know, sitting there and just in their lawn chairs having a nice chat. And I'm like, there you go. Nobody says you're locked into your house. We just follow guidelines and we can still interact with people just fine. So I would encourage people, if you're feeling that way or feeling a little bit lonely, be so bold as to call somebody and say, hey, do you mind if I stop by? And I know the world is there. I know I'll give my age away here. I'm going to be 60 soon. And I know when I was a young kid that, believe it or not, people would just stop by people's houses and visit. And that doesn't seem to be so much socially acceptable anymore.
Right.
And so here, you know what, here's an opportunity to sort of change the way that we live our lives and just say, you know what, I'm going to make an effort to go visit with someone today. So just don't be afraid of that. I mean, it's acceptable, you know, from the COVID rules perspective to still actually sit in front of people and talk to them as long as you keep your distance.
Has there been discussion about what will happen after some of the social distancing guidelines have been lifted?
Yeah, at the parish, there's some discussion has started on that. And I know with Andrew, my son, who works over at St. John the Baptist in Savage, they're discussing that too. So, you know, the good news is it's being discussed. You know, there are no timelines, no guidelines yet. And I think most people would think that it will be a sort of a controlled reintroduction. a lot like maybe some of the states have recently done with, you know, like restaurants,
mm-hmm.
So many people in per time and, you know, things like that. And I think the good news is that I think most parishes are in the archdiocese are starting to talk about what would that look like for our particular parish and starting to just put some thoughts down. And so when the time comes, there's not this 2 or 3 or 4 week ramp up time where we're going, oh boy, we hadn't thought about this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to get those kind of plans in place, talk through them. It's certainly, I think we can all assume it's going to be different for a while and maybe for, you know, several months, maybe longer, where it won't be, you know, business as usual. But I think, you know, the Mass will be public soon, I hope. I think a lot of people hope. And I know if with some planning and guidelines in mind and parishioners' willingness to maybe be a little more patient, and that may mean things like entering in, making sure that there's enough space as people enter into the building. I know we've talked about how to keep corridors, you know, so there's a good separation where people are coming in versus people going out and things like that. So there's just a lot of logistics, and but they're all workable for the most part. You just have to have a plan, and you have to have people trained then to sort of help guide people.
What do you think about long-term having Mass available online? Do you think that that is going to continue? Because it's certainly been a benefit for people that are shut-ins.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, and that will be up to the bishop, obviously. But I think everybody sees some advantage to certainly for shut-ins, and then certainly during the there'll be a transition period here where those who feel maybe perhaps more vulnerable, you know, more seniors and things like that that just aren't quite comfortable coming to Mass yet for health reasons. I would almost have to believe that we will do, it'll be a dual thing where there'll be live streaming also with live Mass and people able to kind of choose for a period of time. Again, that's not my call. That comes from the Archbishop and all of his team that are very astute in how these things should work. But, it's reasonable to conceive that could be certainly a good transition over a period of time, you know, maybe several months or something like that. So, yeah, I from the long-term perspective, I really don't know how that might look.
Well, it'll all be determined, I would assume, within the next probably 6 to 8 months to a year. I guess we'll have to wait. But in the meantime, we can feel good because we can get our home blessed by Deacon Rod Walker. And if you would be so kind as to give your email address so people could perhaps set up.
Sure. So, yeah, you can email me at rwalker, that's just one word, rwalker, at seas parish.org.
Deacon Rod Walker, we are grateful for your time today and also grateful for all you've done. Boy, you have a story to tell, your first year in ministry, and this is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've waited almost 60 years for this, and now this is it. Anyway, thanks for all you're doing. Blessings to you and blessings to your wonderful family. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. In Hastings.